sing at sec. Here we go.
In your
service that our hearts will be repentant of the things that we have done and said that's wrong. Lord, our hearts will then be thankful, God, for all that you've provided. And that, Lord, that we'll truly lift you up, Lord, in song and in our spirit, Lord, as we come to worship you today. I pray for Brother Wayne as he leads our music, for our musicians, for our teachers today. And I pray, God, at the time of the message, that you give Brother Steve a special touch from above. And I ask this all in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Let's sing another. Look at page, go back 300 pages to page 318. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. This hymn book right here, every song at the book, at the top up there, it always has a scripture. And this is Luke 9:23. It says, those who come after me must take up their cross daily to follow me. Daily. Not every once in a while. We've got to do that on a daily basis.
Sure.
And thank God for the one cross. Sing that second verse.
I believe that the Christ who won the same love and cross has a power to change life today.
give these ladies a good round of applause. Y'all see her more, give her a bigger applause.
Thank you so much.
Wayne Brown came back brave off that.
I did. But we're going to her time, and the ones we need to pray for, thank you again so much. Playing. She didn't really want to play this morning, I want to tell you that. She didn't want to play. She said, let Chris play this morning. I played last week. I said, no, I want you to play for us today. Again. So I want you to do that a lot more. But anyhow, let's lift up the ones we need to pray for. I mentioned Vanessa. She's not feeling very well this morning. It's on her way back yesterday, she started coughing, and she's pretty bad congested and just didn't feel very well. So pray for her this morning. And I understand Brother John was out last week. I think your back is hurting. I hope you're doing a lot better this morning, like you're doing well.
He took a fall.
He took a fall. I know it was something like that. But he was pushed. For some reason, I had a feeling that was coming. Well, I had to push Diane up here this morning. We'll bring it up again. But John, it's good to see you here. Glad everything's okay. Continue praying for Sister Pat and how is she doing?
About the same.
Continue praying for her and the ones in the nursing home. Always continue praying for them. Brother Royce's sister and Sister Niger and all the ones that they're in the nursing home. Need to lift them up.
Brother Wayne, I wanted to let the church know Mama wound up in the hospital this week. She just can't get over all this, but they found out she's having TIAs, those mini strokes. And I talked to her on the way over here. She was better. She wanted to come, but she was better today. So y'all just continue to pray for her.
Amen.
Remember Nana, she took a little fall yesterday and we ended up in the ER. Nothing's broken. She's just going to be really sore. So. Y'all remember her. Also remember the Kenneth Wright family.
Yes.
And so they'll be burying him today. But I also want you to remember his daughter. She sent me a text night before to make sure that we knew. And come to find out, sometime during the 6-week stay, Kenneth being in the hospital at Grandview, she fell at her daughter's house and dislocated her both bones in her right lower leg, crushed her ankle, and had surgery with plates and stitches and pins and screws. And she chose to go to Hansel Rehab so that everybody could focus on Kenneth in his last time. So y'all just remember her too, please.
Remember, yeah. Yeah, I think Kenneth was in Hansel too, wasn't he? I think he was sent to rehab.
I understand he was, yes.
Yeah, I think he was there, so she was there with him.
It was funny how she come back, or I'm not in the nursing home.
Well, I continue that. Yeah, continue praying for that family. And they understand the Puckett family. What was it, Glenn? Mm-hmm. Not Glenn. I can't remember his name.
Charlie Puckett.
I don't want to say Glenn, but he's Charlie Puckett, the member of the Puckett family. Charlie passed away.
Brother Wayne, I talked to Sister Lily a day or two ago, and she's doing a lot better, and she's having therapy at home. And she says she feels like coming to church, but the doctors really don't want her right now around people, getting over this pneumonia and all. So please encourage your prayers, and please pray for Sister Darlene. And Brother James Earl Payton wanted me to thank the church for the prayers for Gail. She had surgery last week on her hip, and I'll put it like he put it, she's just doing extra good. That's what he said.
That's good. Pray for those, and I'll see Sister Jane here this morning. Is she okay?
And her,
okay. Anyone else you'll lift up in prayer this morning?
Wayne, remember the Brandon family? He was in the general basement, 27, first truck behind in the bucket truck. I don't know if y'all seen that on the news. He did not make it.
Oh, okay.
So, he's got three small children.
Yeah, remember that.
Have y'all prayed for Mama? She's probably got the same thing as Vanessa, more likely, but it's all respiratory, popping her head off, just don't feel good. Pray that it don't end up being pneumonia.
Yeah. We'll lift your mom up in prayer. Well, again, we always have so many to pray for, and always mention our pastor. Always pray for our pastor.
Lift him up in prayer. Sister Amanda and Sister Nell are traveling back today, too. So y'all remember.
Yeah, everything. Yes. Well, let's go to the prayer and lift these up, and Brother Mark, can I ask you to lead this prayer, please, if you don't mind?
Heavenly Father, I come before you, Lord, with many requests this morning. Many traveling, and many sick, and many unwell. Many in need, O Lord. But we know, O Lord, you are more than capable. We know, Lord, according to thy word, Lord, that we need to come together in your name. You're here in our midst, and you hear us, Lord. You hear our petitions, you hear our prayers. We give you thanks for that, Lord. We give you praise. I ask you, Lord, to meet each need, Lord, as that they've been called out. Those in need of healing, those in need of peace, those in need of joy and restoration. Whatever it is, oh Lord, I ask you to meet it, Lord, because I know that you are more than capable. I give you thanks for that, Father. I ask you, Lord, to bless the service today. Bless each Sunday school teacher, Lord. Bless the children as they go to Sunday school, Lord. Help us to make them worthy disciples of you.
Yes.
Lord, bless the service. Bless the music. Touch it, Lord, and let you, Lord, show us your glory today. We thank you. We thank you for the Sabbath. We thank you for this day of peace, the coming and glory to your name. And I pray all these things, O Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, we'll take our classes now.
A favor of everyone, when you go back home today, get out all your bottles and all your jars and put this air we got in it this morning. And then 4th of July, we'll all open it up. Yeah. So bottle it up while it's here. A good morning to everyone. We're in the 44th chapter of Genesis. I know you guys are thinking this story's going to be like, what's that old cartoon, Lamb Chop? This is the story that never ends. But scripturally, this is the day things happen. We're about to get there. Still might take a couple of Sundays. Maybe next Sunday we'll get there. Let me read just a little to get us started. 44th chapter, first verse. And he, Joseph, commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sack with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money. And he, talking about the steward, did according to what the word that Joseph had spoken.
As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, Up, follow them after the men, and when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, Wherefore have you rewarded evil for good? Is not this it in which my Lord drinketh? And whereby indeed he divineth or divineth? Ye have done evil in so doing. And he overtook them, and he spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, Wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servant should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sacks' mouths, we brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also be my Lord's bondmen. And he said, Now also let it be according unto thy words, with he with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless. And they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground, and opened every man his sack. And he searched and began at the eldest and left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes and laid every man his ass and returned to the city. Ever had one of those days that was like a roller coaster? You know, it can be as innocent as a t-ball game where they do real good this end and they do real bad this end. You're cheering, you're sad. But you know, you've had roller coaster days at the hospital when a loved one, they're better. But then they take a turn for the worse, they recover, and your emotions just go from one day into the other. Well, this is the day for everyone. These brothers' emotions are going to run the gamut. If you go back to the very last part of chapter 43, it said, And they drank and were merry with him. Talking about, and the brothers drank with Joseph, and they were merry with Joseph. So you got to feel like when they're leaving Egypt this time, they're going, Whew, we dodged a bullet. We had a nice meal with him. We're taking Benjamin. Everybody's going home with us. And now we can make it. They know they're going to be five more. Well, they don't know that yet either. I'm sorry. But they know now, I can go back. We can get all the grain we need from this guy. Yes, sir.
Are they not leaving just a little bit emotionally secure?
Yeah, sure they are. Yeah, yeah. It was a bad trip the first time, but things have worked out the second time.
He might like us a little.
Took us to his house and fed us a big meal.
Mm-hmm.
So we're headed home and things are good. I think as important as the grain was, they're taking Benjamin back. I'm not sure which one is more important in their eyes. But when
I would have been a basket case, because I would be thinking, everybody that comes to Egypt to buy corn don't get to have dinner with second in charge. What's going on here? I have a suspicious nature or an inquisitive nature, and that would have been my thought, I'm sure.
Brother Roger, you're not married to Pam. She gets that present wherever we go. We went to a wedding one time, big Catholic wedding, and I looked for her, couldn't find her, and she's on the front row. Somebody had took her down. And she didn't even know all the chants, but they had her down on the front row.
You know, I wonder too, when the brothers, when they found that cup of vision in the sack, I wondered just for a minute what they say. Did you take that? Did we all get too drunk last night? Did we do too much? Did you steal that cup? It had to be in the back of their mind just for a second. Did you possibly take that cup? Have you ruined us all?
They may have thought, what do you know about your brother coming out of this?
So I think that's a great question to ask when we see what Jacob blesses Benjamin with. And in his life, It might have been something in Benjamin already that his brothers may have seen that it was not really, really good.
So they head back home, but Joseph commands that their sacks be filled with food, with grain, corn, and put their money back in the sacks again. But he wanted his personal silver cup put in Benjamin's bag. Now remember I said that there were really three things I feel like Joseph was after. And the second one was, I want to see if my brothers have changed. So he puts the cup in, has the cup put in Benjamin's sack. So what was the worst outcome at this point that could come? The brothers betray Benjamin. Which Joseph would have sent him home, but he wouldn't have put Benjamin in prison. He'd have set him up nicely. So he still, in all this, has Benjamin taken care of. So this really isn't about Benjamin. This is about the brothers. It's about the brothers. He tells his steward, let them get out of town just a little ways and go after them. And that's what happens. They leave when it's light the next morning. They get out of town a little ways. Here comes the police, we'll say. And, you know, I think the response was to the steward by the brothers, there's no way. Look, we came all the way from Canaan and brought your money back last time. We could have easily kept it. We were a long ways away. But we brought it back, and now you think that we would be so dumb as to steal from the Pharaoh's right-hand man? I think they were convinced there is no way. No way. They were just proud they managed out with their skin. Yeah.
Then they got bold. That's the first thing I thought. We'll just kill him if you find him with ears.
Yeah. That's how much they were convinced there was no way. If you find something in one of these sacks, you can kill him. And we'll be your slaves. Go ahead. So they unload the sacks, and lo and behold, they start with the oldest to the youngest, and there's that cup in Benjamin's sack. Now, you know the roller coaster does this? Boy, their emotions fell off the cliff. Said they rent their clothes. Now, that's a sign of grief. You know, people then didn't have the closet stuffed with clothes like we do. That man only had a couple pair of clothes, period. But to show their grief, their astonishment, said they rent their clothes. And what could they do? They loaded up their donkeys and headed back to face Joseph. Now, I can't imagine going from this high yesterday to eating with Joseph to now going back to have to face him. The evidence is there. It's in the sack. We don't know how it got there, but it's there. I cannot imagine the roller coaster of emotion these boys are feeling. But this is all Joseph's plan. Anyone a word before we go a little further? All right, now we start getting into the good parts. We worked our way here, but now we start getting into the good parts. Verse 14, and Judah and his brethren, interesting now that the author says Judah and his brethren. All of a sudden, the story turns to Judah, doesn't it? And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there. And they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, through an interpreter, I'm sure, what deed is this that ye have done? What not that such a man as I can certainly divine? And Judah said, "What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found." Wow. Finally, at least Judah is seeing the bigger picture. He's not looking horizontally. He's looking vertically. And he said that God has found out our iniquity.
Is Reuben's the oldest? Is mm-hmm. Judah second?
No.
He's like
third or fourth.
Yeah.
But finally, Judah realizes what's going on. This is our fault. God has found out what we did to Joseph, and now we're suffering the consequences of it. You know what the first step of forgiveness is? Confession.
Acknowledging
you wrong. You know, it's one thing if somebody comes up to you and really doesn't mean it, just says, "I'm sorry." But when somebody comes up and tells you exactly what they did and how sorry they are, then that's easier to handle. But yeah, until a person admits, till they confess it, not to someone else, but in this case they did, but confess it to themselves, admit it, they did wrong. Then they're on the path to forgiveness. Yeah. It's interesting how you put that. God found it out. Somebody told God. Yeah. But here, finally, Judah takes a step in the right direction. And Joseph said in verse 17, "God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get ye up in peace unto your land." So now Benjamin's in the lurch, isn't he? Here's an opportunity. They can just go home, hang Benjamin out to dry, and be scot-free. But Judah is finally a changed man. Yeah. He realizes they did wrong. And even though it was buried in the history of 20 years ago, it now stared them right in the face. Amen. Even a word.
Well, Reuben hadn't said a word. Reuben's silent because Reuben knows I'll be responsible for the child. And he's going to come back empty-handed and have to face his father with
him. Often wondered why Christ came of the tribe of Judah. I wonder if right here is a big hint of it, as we'll see on what Judah's actions are. You know, a lot of things happened through history before Christ, but as one thing popped in my mind reading this was, I wonder if this is why Christ came from his tribe or his group. Someone else. And I'm not going to read 18 through 29. Judah's just going to plead his case, I guess you'd say, to Joseph. And he recounts everything that had happened. The first trip, leaving Reuben, going back, or leaving Simeon, I'm sorry, and goes back and has to bring Benjamin back. He recounts all that had happened. Sound like he's given a full confession. Yeah. So let's pick up in verse 30. And this is still Judah talking. "Now therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die, And thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. Well, for the first time in a very long time, Judah has some care for his father. If you read a lot that we didn't read in before, the brothers didn't have a whole lot of respect for Dad. Dad was a bit on the passive side. But here Judah is showing compassion to his father. Says, Governor, if we go back without Benjamin, I'll have to watch my father die from grief. So Judah's getting in some good shape inside, isn't he? He's made a confession, and he's showing some care. And I don't think this happened overnight. But when it came, what's the phrase? When it came time for the rubber to meet the road here, Judah's going to shine for us. But then he goes a step further. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore I pray thee, and underline these or highlight them if you want to, let thy servant abide instead of the lad. Abide a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. Wow. Judah stepped up to the plate, hadn't he? Governor, let's do this. Let the lad go, and I'll take his place. I'll be your servant forever. I don't really know what to say here. To go from where he was 20 years ago, but now he's willing to give up his life for his brothers. And he asks again, for how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father? So he's made a confession. He realized God's in this. He's bigger than he is. And now he's offering his life in the place of his little brother's. For his little brother's sake and for his dad's sake, he's willing to just be a servant for the rest of his days. Joseph's getting in pretty good shape now, isn't he? He's getting in pretty good shape. Somebody a word. I know we've covered a whole lot here, but almost to a stopping point. I sure hate to jump into this next chapter with just a couple of minutes left. So let's take stock where everybody is. Benjamin. He's seeing his brother stand up for him. The other brothers, I don't know what they're thinking right now. Are we all going to be servants? Oh, Judah, don't make him mad. Careful, Judah, what you say. Or are they all feeling the same thing?
You made me really think about the line of the tribe of Judah. And when you really reflect on that, he took responsibility for the family. He took responsibility. Even if they were, he didn't think they were wrong, he said, okay. That's an interesting connection.
He was taking the route for the innocent.
Seems like somebody else.
Yeah. Does sound familiar, doesn't it? Yeah. Willing to give up his life so that his brothers might go free. Yeah.
When you think about how the Holy Spirit used that story, you know, really the whole Bible. To me, it's the story of Jesus from the beginning to the end. Mm-hmm. It's really him, Paul Kirtland. Emmanuel, God with us. How fascinating has the Holy Spirit we used that through generations and centuries and thousands of years to bring that to the culmination of the cross. That's powerful.
Even though his brothers didn't deserve it, they were just as guilty as Judah was. But he was willing to take the fall for his father, well, for his family. Let's put it that way. Yeah. someone else, or we call it a Sunday.
Bible teaches in the line of the tribe of Judah, but I had to get big enough to read before I realized it was the lion of the tribe of Judah. And so he became our strong and courageous shepherd, bringing salvation.
You know, this was all the oldest, this was all Reuben's place, who should have been. But if we go back now a couple of Sundays, who is it that stands up to Dad? It's Judah. Yeah, it's Judah. And this story rapidly becomes more about Judah than any other brother. And he's not the firstborn, as you mentioned. Yeah. Someone else, but we call it a Sunday.
Joseph was the firstborn, but he wasn't. Reuben was the firstborn, and Reuben was a hideous person.
Let's just say,
the things that he did. Let's just say Reuben's thinking, okay, this may be my third
strike. But Judah just stepped up and was the leader. He wasn't the first, but he was the leader.
Yeah.
It makes you think about, too, how many times in the Bible that the firstborn didn't go very well for him. It was always one of the other ones who stepped up. David comes to mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who listens to those?
That kind of teaches us something about tradition, doesn't it?
All right, guys, we will hit the climax of the story next Sunday. Finally get there. I appreciate your help. We'll pick it up next Sunday.